Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. "It will go dark for a while," said my eye surgeon. He was explaining to me the laser eye surgery that I would be having. It happened a little over a year ago. The surgery was performed to correct a problem most likely from birth, but it had a great side benefit for me. It was going to be a major vision correction. To be sure, the problem that required laser intervention had reached a critical point. But for me, the significant improvement in eyesight, well, that was the plus. "It will go dark for a while," said the surgeon. "But don't worry." He explained the mechanics of the surgery, the whys and whens and wherefores of things going dark for a while. And he did most of the explaining in the midst of handing me these consent forms, needing my signature, my initialing, the dating. Seemed like a half a ream of paper. I signed merrily away as he acknowledged the safety of the procedure while indicating in no uncertain terms the very real possibility that things could go wrong. "It will go dark for a while." He said those words again as I lay on the table in the midst of the surgery, a little groggy from the Valium I had swallowed an hour earlier. But nonetheless, those words brought me to an increased sense of alertness. "It will go dark for a while." And then it did. I had no idea how dark this darkness would be. There was absolutely no light. There was no image. There was no reflection. There was nothing. I've been in the darkness of night in Maine and Montana, way back in the woods. Darkness that is deep, to be sure, but seems like there's always some slight image that can be made out from some reflected light. At least there's a star somewhere in the sky. But the darkness in my surgery, it was total. "Once you were darkness," pens Paul to believers living in Ephesus. You can't help but notice what he does not say. He does not say you were like darkness, not even in darkness. Rather, there was indeed a time you and I were the very thing itself. Once we were darkness. When he wrote these words, the apostle was right in the middle of encouraging the people of God to stay clear of the filth of mind and mouth and body. He had just used terms like fornication, covetousness, vulgarity, sexual immorality. These terms, though not exhaustive, nonetheless, they sure paint the picture of darkness. They identify the way darkness looks. They tell the story of what darkness does. Once you were darkness, This is what Jesus was getting at as well when about us he said in Matthew 15, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual sins, stealing, lies, slander. Once this was us. Once we were darkness. The darkness I experienced for several minutes seemed like an eternity. I recall laying on the table, trying not to notice, trying to think about something else. But I couldn't. The darkness was there. It was so total. No images, no shadows raise a light. And I began to remember the consent forms I'd signed, the warnings and the words that I just kind of let slide by without much of a second thought. What if? What if the darkness stayed? What if I had to live the remainder of my life in this total darkness? Now then, I heard the surgeon say, turning his words to me rather than to the assistants at my sides, now then, you should begin to make out a light. It will be red. Tell me when you begin to see it. Well, I waited. And I searched. And I'm going to tell you, I prayed. And finally, in a fuzzy, watery sort of way, it emerged ever so faintly, but it was there. I saw the light, and what a relief that was. What a sight it was. I submit we have no clear understanding of just how deathly deep and total and futile our being darkness is until we've seen the light. That man born blind in this week's gospel from John 9 had no point of reference about light and all the things that light reveals. You could explain, you could describe the colored patterns on a monarch butterfly's wings to him, but before Jesus, this man couldn't even really think in terms of light and darkness, of seeing and not seeing. All he knew was total darkness until he saw the face of Jesus. In Jesus, he saw the light. So have we. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. In the Lord. En kurio. Blessed prepositional phrase. En kurio. The gospel phrase, the power of God unto salvation phrase, the phrase that says the rescue from what we were, namely darkness, to what we are, light, from never seeing and living within the darkness that we were, total ignorance with a well, that's the way it is, perspective, until en kurio. When the Lord comes to us, the darkness we were gives way to the light he is. The light shines in the darkness. That is light's nature, is what it does. In the Lord, en kurio, in him who's the light of the world, the light that enters our darkness and scatters it by cross and tomb and sunrise, resurrection, and Kareo. Where the Lord is, the light shines, and the darkness becomes past tense. Christ not only brings us out of the darkness, he brings the darkness out of us. And Kareo. In your holy baptism, the light shined. It made the darkness a thing of the past. When you run back again and again to your baptism in repentance and in the confession of sins, the darkness still hanging around is again exposed and shattered and scattered by the light of Christ's forgiveness. Once you were darkness, but not anymore. In the Lord, you are light. So, what does this mean? The words which St. Paul writes here in Ephesians 5 are words of encouragement and exhortation to people who were once darkness but now are called to live out that which Christ has made them to be. It is, however, that prepositional phrase, in the Lord, that governs even this exhortation toward holy living, or in St. Paul's words here, living as children of light. In short, his exhortation runs this way. Stay out of the dark. It simply is not who we are. And Kareo. We are, says Paul, people set apart. And people set against. We are set apart. That's what he's getting at when he urges us to find out what pleases the Lord and to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Notice, for people who are light in the Lord, it is then the Lord who calls the shots and sets the standards. His Spirit breathed into us in word and sacrament enlightens us to see and to strive for that which the world cannot know and cannot have apart from the light, namely, as he lists, goodness and righteousness and truth. We're finally people who confess by word but also by lifestyle that it is no longer I who live but Christ who lives in me. That's set apart living. Set apart from the world we are in the Lord, but also set against it. That being set againstness means, says St. Paul, that living in Christ exposes the lifestyle of darkness for what it is. It is empty, it is futile, it is hopeless, it is damning. Not only the words that we preach, but the very lives that we live in the Lord serve as a powerful testimony to the utter emptiness and the shamefulness of life apart from and against Christ. But now, not what the text says, but what it does, or rather what Paul does. As people set apart and set against, he would, in his encouragement and in his exhortation, invite and call us to do as we are called together to do in community. As a brother in Christ for brothers and sisters in Ephesus, he encourages, he exhorts them, he calls them to encourage and exhort each other. In fact, he ends this section of our text borrowing probably from Isaiah, what had become a familiar hymn, perhaps. Wake up, sleeper, get up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up. Get up. Open your eyes. That finally is what we do for and with one another as we've been set together, not to be lone rangers, but members one of another and of the body of Christ. Wake up. Do you see the light? It's what our Lord calls us to do in the world and to do here among each other as sisters and brothers in this community, giving witness of the light that we are in Korea, in your words, in your actions, in your decisions, in your perspectives. Are you being the light? In correcting a congenital problem in at least one eye, that intensely focused little beam of light known as a laser ended up completely reshaping my corneas. With a little healing, I see with sharp 20/20 vision. And that for somebody who'd worn glasses or contacts from the early elementary school age years. Well, my sister and brother, something similar has happened to all of us, not just with our eyes, but with our entire lives. There has been a serious and total reshaping. Once we were darkness. Now, however, it's an entirely different story, and all that because we are in Korea. And he continues to make all the difference in the world.